I want us to go back to talking about how do you qualify to be a leader. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Can I get the Amplified Bible, please? 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verses 1 to 10. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to qualify. I beg you, see, when you come to church, don't throw away your mind. You understand? Thank you very much. Don't throw away your mind. You know why? Because just like I was saying, if you don't want an unqualified doctor to what? To do surgery on you. In the same way, you also need to qualify to be used of God greatly. You need to. It's important. So I want to give you what the scriptures say, not what Pastor John thinks. Okay. It says this: the saying is true and irrefutable. I like the Bible. This saying, it is true and irrefutable. If any man or any person eagerly seeks the office of a bishop, he desires an excellent work. Listen to me. You must desire to be what? A bishop. Amen. That word desire there is to have a strong yearning and passion to be what? An overseer, a minister of God, a pastor. Amen. Not when you are trying to help people to occupy certain positions, they say, I don't want to be a pastor, I don't want to be this. The Bible says the saying is true and irrefutable. If any person, are you any person?
Yes.
Eagerly seeks the office of a bishop, that person is desiring what? An excellent work. So please, don't think you are too humble to say, I don't want it. No, you are not humble at all. If you are humble, then you must desire to be a bishop. The amen is not strong enough. I check the word desire there. Let me just explain that word desire there for you. It means somebody who stretch out to snatch something. It's a good thing to want to snatch to be a bishop. Hallelujah. It means somebody who has a strong, he uses the word even to covet and try to be what? Ambitious to be a pastor, a minister, is a good thing. Amen? Are you here? You see, the world will say, he did not say that those who desire to be doctors or lawyers. Hello? Oh, the amen is... did he say that? He said those who desire to be pastors, they desire a very good work. I'm not saying don't be a lawyer, don't be a doctor, but God is telling you the major thing you have to desire is a good thing. Yes. Hallelujah. So from today, I see you desiring to be a bishop. Is to have affection directed towards something, a longing after to be something, and that is to be a bishop, an overseer, a minister of God. It's a very good thing. In fact, most of the time, you will discover this about God. He takes people who are in the secular world, achieving a lot, to become this. Amen? You find people quitting very, very job that gives a lot of money. They leave it to become what? Bishops. It is a good thing. Say it's a good thing. From today, I don't want you hearing that it's not a good thing. I don't want to be a pastor. Who told you don't want to be a pastor? It is irrefutable. What does it mean when the Bible says it is irrefutable truth? It's without doubt. It is settled that any person wants to be a pastor is a very good thing. Hallelujah. I see plenty of pastors here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Plenty of apostles here in Jesus' name. Yes. Plenty of evangelists. Yeah. And prophets. Yeah. Yes. It's irrefutable. Look, I always say that I want to teach you, look, believe the Bible to be saying, we say it is a true saying and irrefutable. If a person desires to be a pastor, it's a good thing. Then he's going to tell us it's a good thing, but then you need to what? Qualify for it. People desire it, but they don't want to qualify. They don't want to go through the process. I'm sure there are lots of parents want their children to be doctors, architects, and all, but the child doesn't want to suffer. Go through the what?
The university, the night, life, sleeplessness, and all of that, studying, and so forth. You need to qualify. Now, a bishop, when the word bishop simply means is what is there? A superintendent, an overseer, and so forth. Must give no grounds for what? Accusations. They must be above what? Reproach. The husband of one wife, not two, not three. The husband of what? One wife. We'll come to it. Circumspect and temperate and self-controlled. He must be sensible and well what? Behaved and dignified and lead an orderly, disciplined life. Boy, so you see the thing now. That's why it is irrefutable truth. It's a very high level of what? Work. That's why people who don't qualify are bishops and they are causing chaos because they don't meet this criteria. It's like a quack doctor. You know, I think the last 3-4 years they've been arresting some of them. You know, some of even were even killing people. Doctors are supposed to save life, not what? Kill. He must be what? Hospitable. Showing what? Love for and being a friend to what? The believers, especially strangers or foreigners. And be a capable and qualified what? Teacher. Not giving to what? Wine. Those of you who drink wine. Notice that man there. Some of you have got cabinets. We went to this retreat place. I saw some drinks. I couldn't believe it. Say, oh, Lord. Heavy alcohol, you know, in the Christian retreat place. I've been there a few times. I've never seen that one before. I said, what's going on here now? You see, spiritual leaders are changing and compromising all over the place. Why go and put alcohol in a Christian retreat place? Somebody with alcoholic problem. Say, I smell something here now. By the time he comes to the conference, he's dancing all over the place. Why do you want to tempt people in a Christian center? Let's carry. It's like bringing pole dancing into Christian conference center. Yes. That's how I see it. Let's go back. Let me just read the thing. Not giving to wine. Not combative, but gentle and considerate, not quarrelsome. Those of you who like quarreling. But forbearing, I'm going to explain all of these things. Forbearing and peaceable, and not a lover of what? Money. Go on. Verse 4. Ready to, give me verse 4. He must rule his own household what? Well, it means his family must be in order. You see how to be a pastor is not easy. Leon, can you see that? You just don't get and say, I'm anointed. We are doing it because we want to become great leaders, missionaries, world changers. And these are the things that we need to have inside of us to be able to be effective. Keeping his children under what? Control. With true dignity. Commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. If you cannot command the respect of your children, how can you come and command the respect of what? The church. You are disqualified straight away. For if a man does not know how to rule his house, his own household, how is he able to take care of the church of what? God. Let's move on. He must not be a new convert. Or he may develop a beclouded and stupid state of mind. And as a result of pride, blinded by conceit, he will fall into the condemnation that the devil once did. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation and be well thought of by those outside the church. That is your workplace. If I come and do investigation at your workplace and I ask your work colleagues, they must give good testimony about you. If they say, you say this person is a Christian, disqualified. We don't care how much you are anointed, how many tongues you release per second, no. Or how many people fall under the power when you lay hands on them. As far as the scriptures are concerned, you are disqualified. And be well taught up by those outside the church, lest he become involved in what? Slander. Brings the name of the Lord into what? Disrepute. And incur reproach. And what? Fall into the devil's trap. It means that the devil has got traps all over the place. If you don't have certain qualities, he will trap you. Are we here? If we look at this passage, give me the next one. It talks about other leaders as well. It's not just, in like manner, the deacons, you know who the deacons are? Every leader in this church is a deacon. So it's not just the pastors. Karim, you see that? It includes you. In like manner, the deacons must be worthy of what? Respect. Not shifty and double talkers. You know, the snake has got one, but like, you know, you can't be what? Duplicitous. But sincere in what they say. Not giving too much wine. You see, maybe the deacons can have a little bit, but not much. Just like. Not giving too much wine. Not greedy for what? Base gain or filthy lucre. Craving wealth and restoring to ignoble and dishonest methods of getting it. First, they must possess the mystic secret of the faith, the Christian truth as hidden from ungodly men with a clear conscience. These are deacons, you know. And let them also be what? Tried, investigated, and proved first. Then if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve as what? Deacons. Wow. Have you noticed that the reason why there's a lot of chaos in spiritual leadership is that we violate this? Oh, are you here? Maybe you live in your world, so you don't know what goes on in churches and so forth. It's because this thing is violated. So let's talk a bit about this qualification. Falls into four categories. Number one is the spiritual qualification. Number two, intellectual qualification. Number three, your body. Number five, your emotional qualification, societal qualification, and then what? Finally, what? Relational qualification. You need to qualify in all these spheres to become what? A leader in a church. Someone said, then who will be a leader? You. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so number one, he must be above reproach. What does it mean? To be above reproach means this. People cannot come and accuse you wrongly about anything. Your neighbors cannot come and say that you've been jumping over the wall and stealing their whatever. You have reputation that, even amongst us, you forget about in the church here, you must have a reputation that you're a good person. When your name is mentioned, people respect you straight away. You must have a reputation that you are what you say you are. You are sincere, you are honest, you are not duplicitous. That you don't you have integrity. But that is inside, because here we can all pretend, isn't it? We are here for how many hours? 3-4 hours, then we all go home. The rare one, if I come and ask, especially those who are married, if I go and ask your spouse, how is Karim? Let's assume you won't lie to me. How does he treat you? What kind of person is he? What does he say about the church? So let's say Karim, and he say, Pastor John. Immediately he say, case closed. You must have good reputation, especially amongst unbelievers. Two, the husband of one wife. Do you know why he said the husband of one wife? Are we here? Do you know why he said that? Because in those times, some of them had more than what? One wife. So he's saying that as long as you are more than one wife, you are what? Disqualified. It means that the husband of one wife, you have one wife, you don't have a concubine somewhere. Do you know that in the 18th century and 17th, concubines were a norm? It was a practice. So if you, the further you go back, there were certain practices that was accepted in the world, the society. But in the kingdom of God, the minister or the deacon must be the husband or the wife of one person, not two, not three. Amen? So immediately we see that you've got more than one, you are disqualified. It means this. You lead out of your life, not your position. The way you live your life, okay, qualifies you to be a spiritual leader. Number three, you must be temperate. The word temperate means your ability to exercise self-control. You must have emotional restraint, not giving to anger. You must be calm and reasonable. Can you imagine a pastor who is not calm and is not self-controlled? He'll be cursing people all the time. Because people will get on your wrong side. How many of you know that? So if you are not calm and self-controlled and temperate, you will destroy people's lives. So if, for instance, you see someone who is always angry and angry and angry, if you are not careful, the devil will cause people to provoke you, and your anger will let you what? Say things, and you will destroy others' life. So if you've got an issue with anger, it means that what? We need to work on that for you to fully qualify as a minister. When you are a leader of people, people will test you all the time. How many of you as a department, have people have tested you before? Yes. People will test you. The person you are relying upon. When you think they are coming, they will just will text you, Pastor John, I'll not be there. What are you going to do? Hello? Your assistant said, I will be there. Count me. And then they don't tell. What are you going to do? That is why you need what? A lot of what? Temperance to control yourself. Because people do a lot of things to irritate leaders. Chichamalai. Yes. They will say they'll be there. Sunday school. They should be there at 9. 10 o'clock, they are turning up. Oh, am I speaking Greek or Hebrew here? Yes. You just rise up. Even if you like a parent, if you're a parent, do your children irritate you? Sister Janet, did your children, when they were growing up, did they irritate you? Even now, God have mercy. That is why God is saying to us, as a leader, you need to be tempered. You know, God doesn't say things for saying sake. He knows the way people are. And what they will do in their behavior can, if you don't have certain qualities, you may end up doing the wrong thing. Okay? So you must control your temper, or it can destroy you, or it can destroy people around you. Amen. Ask your neighbor, is your temper under control? I know you are smiling, but I don't know how you are at home. Tell them, I know you look nice, but I don't know how you are at your workplace. Next point. They must be respectable, dignified. Make sure you live in such a way that people respect you. Let people respect you. Look, respect cannot be, I can't demand respect because I'm the pastor. I must earn it. Look, let people respect you by the way you live. When you say 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, be there. Oh. You are abandoning me now, eh? I'm helping you. Because one of the prophetic words over this church is that God, people will come from the world and learn from us. How can God, people come and learn from when we can't even keep what? Basic time. When we are not respectable. It will be a joke. So we have to be trained and learn how these things must happen. And respect. That your yea is your yea, your nay is what? Your nay. You know, there are certain people, you just respect them. When you hear their name, you salute. Certain people, when you hear the name, I won't hold my breath. It means that you lack respect. Hello? You may not know it. We are going, moving about, but people don't respect you. Not because of your face or your complexion or whatever, but because of the way you live. I see you earning respect in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to your workplace and we ask you, have respect. You have respect before, especially the men as well. You must have respect before your wives. The men did not say amen. Yes, if you're a man, your wife might, by the way you live your life. And if you're a woman, so you need respect, the same applies. You cannot come and lead worship here and your husband is saying, this woman. Is that true or not? Celeste, you cannot come here preaching and saying Holy Ghost is here. Then when we go to Karim, say, hey, this woman that you think she's a powerful woman, you have no idea. She's a Jezebel at home. Yes. I'm not referring to her. I'm not. Oh, please, where are you? Oh, man. I thought we are thinkers here. Lord have mercy, man. Lord have mercy. Oh, you haven't seen that before. There was a Jezebel in the church in Revelations who was a leader. And Jesus said, I have had patience for her. If you don't cast her out, I will kill her quick. Yeah, it's in Revelations. I don't want us to pretend here that I come here and preach, but I'm abusing my children and my wife. We don't want that kind of hypocrisy amongst. Look, the thing is not a joke, you know. That is why every man must make sure he's in the faith so they don't end up in hell. Because I can preach to you and be a castaway myself. Are we here? These are the things that make. And by the way, the same applies to all the young ones here. While I'm preaching, she's just enjoying the computer game there. If you go to next week, she won't do that. We have to solve these things in church. And let the attention spike. Because how are they able to go to school? Are we here? And sit down for 2 hours and learn. But I don't know why in church they must play Nintendo. It baffles me. I don't understand. Oh, the place is quiet here now. Are you upset at me? Something must change. We can change that because we allow it. They think whatever you tolerate, just carry on. Yes. It's the parents at home. You must teach. When you are in God's house, you will sit down. If you don't understand, just sit. Don't play games. There's a time for playing games, and there's a time for listening to the word. Like I said, I don't understand. They can go to classroom and not do that. But they can come to church and do. I don't understand. From today, I ban that thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my God, that is me that you hold responsible. Parents, don't let your children play Nintendo. If they have to play their Nintendo, take them to their room, then let them go and play their Nintendo then. Are you angry at me? I know that God is saluting me. Thank you, my son. Yes, and I'm happy if you don't like me. I am okay with it. But one day you will know that I did the right thing. Like I said, I don't understand why they can go to classroom and focus and learn. Primary school, when did they start teaching from? Viv? What? 4 or 5? Okay. So maybe they play games. It's okay. Okay. So when they want to play games, but not in church. Remember some time ago, we went on a holiday and we went to a church and there was this small girl. You remember, I don't know where it was. Then we decided to go to church on a Sunday. And there was this girl who took a Bible and sat, I don't know which. You remember? Yes. I was surprised. Small girl, you know, came with the parents. Young, about 6 or 7, sat down and took the Bible. Big Bible, you know, he forgot it. And was listening to the pastor, taking notes. I was shocked. It means that all things are what? Possible. I was so impressed by the girl. I said, wow, this girl is going to be a great woman in the future. Listen to me. You cannot be respected if you keep on changing your mind. You can't be respected if today you say this, then tomorrow that. We can't respect you. You can't. Do you know what I mean? I can't respect you. Today you say this. It's very hard respecting people like that. It's like today you have pastors. They say they believe the Bible. Next time they've changed their mind, they say homosexuality is correct. Very soon they'll say that multiple marriage is correct. You don't know where they stand. Number 3, number 4 or 5, whatever you've got there. They must be hospitable. Be nice to people. Turn to your friend, say, friend, be nice to me. Don't use my face to judge me. Just be nice to me. You know, some faces are not welcoming, but just be nice to me. And please, when you are being, I don't pretend. You know, there's a lot of pretense. Have you seen those ones? Fake ones. When we finish service, be nice to people. Let that smile be. If it's not genuine, no people feel it. After you smile, it means that you were obligated to do that. What is that? Just a leader must be hospitable. As a church, we must be hospitable. When we see guests among us, be nice to them. Take time with them. Go and don't talk to the normal people. Go and talk to the guests. Sit down with them. Sit there. Maybe you are enduring some kind, but sit there and just be nice. I was saying the other day, if you come to my house, visit me and my family, and all that you see that I'm chatting with Vivian and the children have neglected you, how would you feel? Would you want to come to my house again? No. I should rather leave my wife and my children and attend to you, because you are the guest. You are the center of attention and focus now. It's the same. After service, don't go to your old friends. I used to tell my daughters, Catherine and Catherine, why are you always at your mother's side? You remember? Leave your mother alone. Go and make friends with other people. Leave a daughter. Are you still at this age still holding to your mother's side? Have I told you that before? Yeah, go and make friends. Today I see you making friends. Amen. Go to somebody you've never spoken to before and just talk to them and be nice. Because if you're going to be a world changer, a history maker, you have to enter into people you don't know and like them. Yes. Not where you are always comfortable with. Yes. Be hospitable. To do that, smile. It takes only few muscles or whatever they say to smile. It takes a lot to frown or to frown, whatever. Practices now. Smile at somebody. Let the genuine, not the one, not the artificial one, the genuine one. You know that you must bless people. Look, when you see people in jail, bless them. Hug people. Me, I'm not a hugger. But it's okay, hug people. Even at time, my wife will accost me and just say, hug. I should not say I wasn't brought up like that. I also hug, hallelujah. Yes. You must learn how to hug. After service, hug people. The Bible call it, it's in, I think, one of the greetings that was said in Corinthians. Hug one another. Even kiss one another with a holy kiss. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. Karim is in the Bible. I see you give me holy kiss today after service. Come, God bless you. You see the Arabic one? Yes, do those ones. Do you know that all those things are healing? Psychologists will tell you it releases hormones. It's beautiful. It's nice. It heals the body. Look, there are so many things the Bible will not give you, the scientific and the psychological, this thing, but it is, even children. You know children like hugs a lot. Yeah. Why do you think they do it? Now you are grown and mature, so you don't like hugs. Hugs are good for you. Amen. Whether you were brought up like that or not, it's good for you. Practice it. Amen. Amen. Only at times, if you're a man, you have issues, you have to be careful how you hug. Yeah. With the shoulder in. Because some of you, not some of you, you have troubles. Not everybody, some. So for those who have trouble, you should know how to go about it. And then I see this church being a very hospitable church. Amen. It's with our home that we are hospitable. Amen. Can you imagine when you go to homes where the environment is hospitable? It's nice and welcoming. It's beautiful. It's not, we should be known for our love, not the preaching. Amen. We should be known for our mercy and grace. Yes. Not for how much we speak in tongues. We believe in all those things, but it's love. Love conquers what? Oh. So be nice to people. Especially when you see guests and the faces you don't like, go to them. Practice it from today in Jesus' name. Go to those people. Decide that the next month I'm going to this person. Their faces, I'm finding it hard, but I will love them. I will go to them. You have to use steps. You have to use your will to conquer certain things. It will shock you that person may be your deliverer one day. Oh, yes. But nobody maybe goes to the person because people think this person is strange. But you go to them, you love them, you care for them, and they say, God bless you. Then maybe one day you don't know. They have nobody. When they are dying, they'll leave you a house. You'll be shocked. Because when I used to go to church, this was the only person who used to come to me and love me and do this to me. You have no idea how these things open doors for you. Don't be too self-absorbed in yourself. Don't get so much into yourself. Eh? Don't do that. Get out of yourself. Amen? Because at times, just loving somebody would have made their whole day, not even the preaching, you know, but your love will make them go home so happy. Amen. The next one, be able to teach. You must be able to teach. How can you lead if you cannot teach? You should be able to teach. I'm not talking about teaching at the primary school or secondary school level, but you should be able to communicate the simple biblical truth to people. Every person who is a leader must be able to teach. I was going to do an experiment when we were, but I forgot, at the leader's retreat. I was just going to call somebody, come here and lead somebody to Christ. If I call, say, come and lead, and you cannot do it, there's something wrong. Every leader must be able to what? Teach others. It's like a parent. A parent should be able to teach their children to become better. If a parent cannot teach, how is the child going to learn? Every leader must learn. So I'm not talking about fivefold teaching, but certain basic Christian truths you should be able to what? Impart to others. Next point, not giving to what? Drunkenness. Wine. You know what that means, by the way? It's not just talking about wine. Today, it means they're not giving to drugs. Substance abuse. What else do people abuse? There are all kinds of things people abuse now. Yeah. Don't be giving to those kind of things that affects the body what? Negatively. Even at some of us, we abuse sugar. Hello? We like the sugar. The Lord deliver me in Jesus' name. It's not good. A good leader must not be giving to these things. Wine. You know, some people have got wine, whiskey, Malibu. What's the other one? The Jamaican one. Rum, gin. And it's under their bed, you know. When nobody is looking. It will surprise you that some Christians do that. Do you know that? You think it's a joke, eh? I know pastors who drink a lot. After they finish preaching, one pastor went to a certain place. He finished preaching. Then all the pastors, they went to a place, you know, I think they went to some hotel or something. So one of the pastors was ordering some. Then the other guy said, what do you want? He said, Coca-Cola or Sprite. He said, what? Grow up. True stories, eh? Yeah, man, have some gin, you know. What's all of this? That is, if therefore such a person is in the pulpit, what do you think is going to happen? Do you know why he said not be given to wine and substance abuse? You know why? Who can tell me? I know there are smart people here. Oh, quick. Because somebody is giving to wine. Let's say before I came to preach, I had two shots of whiskey. I come and stand and be doing that. You think it's the spirit, but it's not the spirit. Because substance abuse will disorient you. It makes you do misjudgments. Your judgment is clouded. So what this means is that anything that makes a minister to what? Misjudge, they must not be given to that thing. That's what, in principle, it means. Okay, I'll give you two more, then we will have communion. They must be gentle. They must not be angry all the time. They must be non-violent. Gentle. Are you gentle? Or are you violent? You must be gentle. You must not be given to anger. The slightest. Nah. We are all once like that, but today we are not that in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be quick to be like a cat. No. Gentle. You know that is you know there are certain traits, they are beautiful. When you see a gentleman, it's beautiful. Is that not so?
Yes.
If you have a brother or a sister that is gentle, don't you see how nice it is to be around them? Very beautiful. When you see gentle people, it's just very attractive. I see you being gentle.
Amen.
I see you growing in the fruit of being non-violent. Don't be violent. Don't throw blows. Verbal blows or physical blows, don't throw it. Don't get engaged in those things. Do you know the interest? As you practice these things, it will make your home a very happy home.
Amen.
You see, basic Christianity can make home the most happiest homes. Last one for today. Maybe last two, then we go. Do not be, out of not being what, violent, don't be quarrelsome. Learn to be quiet and mind your own business. You know some people, they are quarrelsome. Oh, you know that when I'm about to talk to this person, there's going to be what? Arguments. I deliver you from arguments in Jesus' name, from argumentative spirits. You know, argument just destroys the soul and the peace. The Bible says the man of God must not be quarrelsome. You must learn when we are discussing issues. 2 minutes, the issue is dealt with, not 50 minutes. Oh, have you been there before? Just one small issue. Christine, is back and forth, back and forth. I see we are playing tennis. Tennis, table tennis. Pa, then pa, pa, then pa, 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 pa. Have you seen that before? You get tired. You see, your soul is all messed up. I just said, come and sing and play this way. I didn't ask for argument. Just do it.
Amen.
Papa. Husbands and wives do it a lot. Some of them have got skills of backhand. Just serious backhand. They smash. Then the other person has to go down and kind of. We must not be quarrelsome. So when you see a leader who is quarrelsome, it's dangerous. Yes. Because you can't get on with people. So you must learn the skill of not being what? Quarrels. At the moment the person is talking to me, okay then. Let's just call it quits. It's enough. You don't have to win the argument. You know, some of us have got the disposition to win every argument. You will not let go until you win, especially the men in marriage. Unless the man is a very docile man. But generally speaking, the man wants what? So for peace sake, look, it's okay. But it's not okay. But things are what? And then it can go on for 5 years before the thing blows up. So you should learn the skill of, sweetheart, I don't want us to fight. We're all on the same page. We want this. Or even in church, governor, we all want to lead the people. Why should we fight over this? If I say it is blue, maybe you say it's green, but let's go with blue. You know, so take it easy for Christ's sake and for the people's sake. Case closed. Or I can come. Who are you? I'm the pastor. You two say, do you say your head? So who are you? Who cares? It means that he may not, but he has given you a backhand in the. We must learn the skill to be able to not be quarrelsome. I don't like quarrels at all. Some people have got, even some groups of people, and tribes of people are very quarrelsome. If you are part of that group or tribe, I deliver you in Jesus' name. That familiar spirit, don't partake of it. Do you know that? There are certain group of people, they just like when you are going to buy the food. Me and what you want? I say, oh, take it easy. I just came to buy some party. Me, I don't know how to, have you, Pastor Philip was here, the part one. Just take it easy. I just came, I'm hungry, I want two parties, that is all. You are coming to fight me as well, why? What have I done? I'm giving you my money as well. If you are not careful, if you are that, you do know that you can bring that in, because generally speaking, it's a spirit. It's just, You see that? It's like the Nigerians. Anywhere they go, you know, the Nigerians. If Nigerians are there, they are there. Yeah. They want to take over. They go to South Africa, they take over South Africa. They want to, now they are taking over Ghana. Wherever you go, America, go and see. If it's for good things, it's okay. If it's for positive things, it's okay. But if it's for evil, then it's not okay. So you can see the traits in different groups of people. Just make sure that it is sanctified. Amen. I think we'll have that coming. We'll end here. Is that okay? These are things that, please, I'm not just teaching. So one of the ways to help, when you see a brother or a sister exhibiting contrary things to this, don't go and judge them, but encourage them. Brother, I believe in you. Sister, I believe in you. The spirit of gentleness is your portion. Not being quarrelsome, in Jesus' name. And don't turn it to another argument. The brother or sister is trying to help you. Me, if you come and do that to me to help me, if yes, I'm angry talking to you, you come back and say, oh, Pastor John, I think be gentle. Okay, thank you. I should not say, who are you? I said, okay, thank you very much. Because at that time, maybe I needed him to what? Intervene to help me to not make a fool of myself. I'm not getting an amen here. Amen. So when we are each other's what? Keeper. Shall we stand?